but we're not done. We're not done in prayer and worship yet.
Amen.
I want to ask all the sons and the men in this room to put your hand on a woman or a mother, and let's lift them up in prayer. Yeah, you can hug them, you can love them, whatever you want to do. But there is, let's make sure there's not a woman, or a young woman, or a girl that doesn't have somebody with their hands on them in prayer. So just look around, guys. Let's make sure we get it done. Amen? Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Let's give them all a gift of grace in our prayers. Let's together, guys, pray for them and lift them up. Are you ready? I'm going to lead us, but you pray because you know specifically maybe some of their needs. And we want to see a gift of grace of God on their behalf. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we just want to say thank you on this morning, on this day that we celebrate mothers. We want to say thank you for all of our women, our young girls, as well as our older girls and our young women and our older women and our mothers. God, thank you for these women that are in our lives. We are so blessed and grateful for them, Lord. We just ask you to build them up in the name of Jesus. God, reveal to them your strength and power and pour out a fresh spirit of revelation upon them to encourage their hearts and lift them up. Lord, you know specifically their needs, and they may be many. For children that don't know you, for physical ailments, for burdens they're carrying at work or at home, or in their neighborhood, or even in the church. Lord, we ask in the name of Jesus that you'd lift their burden. You come to them and speak your truth and your promise to their heart again. And that your word, your rhema to them, would lift them and would renew their faith and renew the power in their life and give them hope to be able to continue to go forward in faith. So, Lord, give them this gift that they desire and show them as they delight in you, you will indeed give them the desire of their hearts. And God, help us as men and young men and as sons and husbands and friends, God, to guard their hearts and to pray for them, to lead the way and be faithful, to have the vision you want us to have for our relationships and our family, that they might be blessed because of us. That even though hard times may come, we can overcome. And so bless us, God, and help us to be a blessing to the women in our lives. We ask this in Jesus' name. So we're so grateful and thankful, Lord, for your presence. So thankful for your love this morning. May it just continue to do all that you desire in your heart to do. It's in Jesus' name we pray. And we all said together, amen. 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 Lord, bless you. Amen. 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 And I want to encourage you guys to keep praying for the women in your life. As the Lord directs you, keep after it. There may be more that we need to pray for. Amen. Amen. All right. Hey, I want to give you a chance to praise the Lord just a little bit. Real quick, come before we send our kids out. Do we have a praise or two? Ah, yes. Oh.
So, yeah, and we couldn't find it. We were doing landscaping and then found a little swampy area, so they're coming, but it's like $2,000, so that's scary. But we found another company after five different estimates that would do it for $1,285. So I made $900 at the garage sale, and then this is the kicker. I had a daycare family that said, Heather, we felt led by God to give you $350.
Oh, praise the Lord.
I
hope you got to hear that praise. The Lord is blessing the Bridgewater family. They're having to replace probably their copper line from their meter to their home, right? Yay. Have you ever done that with your water line? It can be rather expensive, but God is meeting their need. And God used a daycare person to make the difference. Amen. Let's give God a hand for that. Praise the Lord. Amen. Anybody else? Yes, Ashley.
God provided a good first car.
God provided a good first car. Let's give God a hand for that. Woo! That's awesome. Now, it wasn't Tyler's old car, was it?
No.
Okay.
No, this one runs.
Okay, this one runs. All right. I'm sorry. Do we have one more then before we dismiss? Yeah, all right. Well, let's dismiss our kids to kids' church. Lord bless them as they go. Amen. And Lord bless those that are going to lead them. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, I hope that you've had so far a good celebration, Mother's Day celebration. As we celebrate the mothers and the women of our church today, we know that every good mother wants her children and family to be secure. Every good mother wants her children and her family to be taken care of. They want their family to be equipped, their children especially, to be equipped for life, for relationships, and for hard times as they come. Every mother cares about that. And every mother that's a good mother has that kind of connection with her children and her family. Maya Angelou once wrote this, "My mother shed her protective love down around me, and without knowing why, people sensed that I had value." I love that. My mother shed her protective love down around me, and without knowing why, people sensed that I had value. You know what? I hope your mother did that for you. Some of us may not have had a mom do that for us. God bless you and Lord bless you. The Lord can do that for you. But I thank God that I had a mother who did that for me. I was the apple of her eye. I was the bee's knees, man. I was it, and that was it, you know, and I'm thankful for that. She raised me to believe some things. Think about what your mother raised you to believe. She raised me to believe more than doubt. Be a believer more than a doubter. To be generous on all occasions. To sow seed to reap a harvest. And she would always say, "Kelly, you got to spend money to make money. So don't be afraid to do that." Wow. It really, I saw that in our family business. To be open and real with people I can trust. So that's the only way to live, until you can't trust them, right? But be open and real with them, with the people you can trust. To speak the truth, yet always love. And my mother could do that. She could smile and laugh and still give me a spanking. And say, "I love you, and this hurts me more than it hurts you." You know? And I thought, there's no way. There's no way. But she could do that. She taught me to never watch others work without joining in. Woo, yeah. To know that I have value and can make a difference if I only participate and work hard. That built me up. I felt like I mattered because she taught me that. Wow, I hope your mother taught you that. She taught me to give other people a second chance and even a third and even a fourth. She'd tell you the truth, she'd hold you accountable, but she'd give you a chance and a chance and a chance if you were trying and came back. She told me and taught me to learn from my mistakes and not let them define me. I'm so thankful for that, because they never define me in her eyes. And finally, she taught me, "Kelly, you never let a good dessert go to waste." Okay, that's for sure. She was a great cook and baker. And Mom, I learned that too well. Her love and her truths have grown my character, just as your mother's, I hope, has grown your character. It equipped you in ways, in some ways you may not even know, but it equipped you to be strong and successful in life. And I'm eternally thankful for my mother's faithfulness and her believing and her honesty, and always being available in love for me. So thankful for those things. What a blessing. What a blessing to have a strong, loving mother in your life. So let's give God a hand for that if you had one, huh? Yeah. And if you didn't, you have a strong, loving father you can learn from as well. If you've accepted God's great love for you this morning, here's the deal. If you've been made alive in Christ, and if you've been made alive in Christ, you have a heavenly Father whose aim is to love, protect, and equip you to be strong, just like your mother was to do. To equip you to be not just strong, but to be successful, and to be able to stand regardless of what evil may come, or what evil comes in what season of life that you're in. Whatever they may bring, your heavenly Father has equipped you and wants to equip you because he loves you. So this morning, if you've got a Bible, I want to read from a passage in Ephesians. Jason quoted one of the prayers in Ephesians. We're going to probably end up, before we're done, quoting the first prayer in Ephesians. But our scripture today, it's a promise that you and I can be strong, that we can be filled with God's mighty power, that's the kind of friendship God wants with us. He wants us to experience that. And so let's read Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 20. Finally, Paul says, at the end of this letter, and it's a great letter, by the way, he says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. He's writing to believers that sometimes weren't strong and sometimes weren't doing it right, just like we are. But he's telling us like he told them. It's true for us this morning as well. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. It's only one enemy. Him, the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm. That's where they are our enemies. Spirits, angels that have fallen, they're in the devil himself. Therefore, Paul says, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, because it's going to come, we're all going to face it, whether we're good or bad, or we're living for Jesus or not living for Jesus, we're all going to face it. So just because you're in Jesus doesn't mean you face and experience the day of evil. That's all right, but you've been equipped to handle that, and more than handle it, to triumph over it. And so it goes on, so when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, his word spoken to you. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. And with this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me, Paul says, that whenever I speak, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I'm an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. I love that the apostle showed his need. I loved that. Being strong in the Lord in his mighty power. That's what God desires for you and me. How do you practically do that in the day-to-day? How do we do that and stand our ground? What does that mean? We know we're not fighting a physical enemy, right? Jason sent me a little thing on the phone of a guy who was trying to show a woman how to neutralize a bigger man. And the guy grabs him by the scruff and then puts his legs up on him and then rolls back and throws the guy. And I go, well, once I responded because he was going to pay Jeannie 10 bucks to try it on me, right? And so I responded, how did I respond?
Bring it on, pumpkin.
That's right. Bring it on, pumpkin. Because I thought, you know, that works with a guy who just stands there like this. You're right. It doesn't work on a guy who has experience or moves. And so I said, I go, so yeah, that's not as good as it looks. It's not as good as it looks. But the Lord, but at least Jason wanted Jeannie to be strong and ready, right? That's what we care about, and that's what our mothers and fathers care about, and that's what Jesus cares about. He wants us to be strong in him and in his mighty power, and we're not fighting a physical battle. We're fighting a battle of the mind. We're fighting the battle of then of actions, whether they be faith actions or not. We're fighting a battle of the spirit, because they're spirits we are fighting. And there are ideas that we are fighting. And there's a power behind those things that creates and moves. And it motivates people one way or another. That's what we're fighting. And that's in the realm that we are fighting. So how do we fight like that and stand our ground? How do we do that? Well, here's the first thing. And I gotta get on with this, so stay with me. The first thing is that we have to see, there's something very important in the very first sentence of our passage. It is possible, tell yourself that, it's possible and available for me and for you as believers to be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. That is possible. I don't have to be weak in the Lord. I don't have to be weak in his power. How many times do you feel weak and powerless against things? Just go into a Verizon store. Golly, and try to get them to change stuff. You know, I had to grow up a little bit. Jesus used that to grow me up because there was a while where I couldn't go into Verizon stores, and that was a number of years ago. Because my voice would start raising. What? Like, you know, it was ridiculous. So Joey said, you go sit in the car. Okay. But I grew and grew up with that. It's possible. It's possible for you to be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Tell yourself that. It's possible. I don't care who you are. It's possible if you're a believer. I don't care how young or old you are. It's possible to be strong in the Lord. It's possible. How strong and powerful was the Lord? Huh? They said he was a man who was mild and meek, and he didn't even break a reed. He was so kind and gentle. He was compassionate. He was approachable. Sure, he was all those things. With great power. Oh my gosh. Think about it, and I want to run through some of the things. If you read the gospel, I'm not going to read it to you because we don't have time, but I want you to read the gospels. Go back and read them, and you're going to find out how powerful Jesus was. He turned water into wine. Wow. He did. He healed blind people all the time in different ways, by speaking, by spitting on the ground and putting in their eyes. All different ways. He commanded 1,000 demons, because there was a legion and a man running nude, creating trouble, breaking chains, beating people up in the graveyard. And he basically, with the word, asked the name of the demon, who said, we are legion because we are many. That would be 1,000 or more. And with the word, he commanded. He didn't demonstrate and go, all right. He didn't do any of that. He just said, okay, you need to leave. And they asked, well, can we go in that herd of pigs? Go ahead and go in that herd of pigs. And they did, and they left. He commanded and freed people with just a word. He raised the dead by his word as well. He raised children. He raised Lazarus, his friend, with just a word. And when he stood in the boat and was sound asleep on the sea with his disciples, and a squall came up so violent and crazy that it scared those seasoned fishermen to death, that they were all going to drown and die, and they screamed out to the Lord and said, God, help us. Don't you care that we're going to die? And he woke up and just said, be still. And the scripture says immediately, the winds and the waves were still. And they marveled at who this man was. His power. His power. Not to mention that the Lord of the universe, the creator of all, whom he was in the flesh, allowed himself with his great power to be abused and suffer and be unjustly executed at the hands of people, of men that he created. And he was willing to do it while they were yet sinners in payment for their sins. And he was willing and able to do that without exerting his great power to come off the cross. The great power that he told Peter he had when Peter cut the ear of the servant off and then he put it back on and said, don't you think that I could have at my disposal 12,000 angels at just a word? But I'm doing this for you. I'm doing this for you. And then to be able to stay on that cross without coming down as they hurled insults at him. Wow. Extolling his majesty before all. He could have showed everyone how powerful he was. He could have obliterated every guilty human being and angel with a single mighty word. He could do that if he was just bent on destruction and on justice. He could do that. Such wonderful and absolute power with such loving restraint because he loved us. That's why he was restrained. That is marvelous. I don't know about you, but I just am amazed at that. Amazed at that kind of love and that kind of control, disciplined love. And lastly, Paul prays this prayer in Ephesians 1, 15 through 21, and we want to just be captivated by this prayer because it's a prayer that calls us to consider that one, it's possible to be strong in the Lord, but that his power is great for us. Hear this prayer in Ephesians 1, 15 through 21. For this reason, Paul says, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus, in your love for all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. And this is what he was asking in his prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, that he may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incredibly, incomparably great power for us who believe. Because that's what I want you to know. Do you know that this morning? The great power that has been given to you because you believe, and it's accessible to you. Wow. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead. And he seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion in every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. Your Lord that you are in, my Lord that I am in, has this great power in it. It's available to us. It's possible to be strong in the Lord. What a mighty and merciful God we serve, who wants us to know and experience his presence, his power, his love, and his servants. That's what he wants. Do you realize that it's possible to be filled with Jesus' great power and to be strong in him? It is, but it's not your power. We sometimes try to exert our faith in Jesus. That's not what we're talking about here. It's not your, it's his. It's you trusting his word. It's not you whipping up your faith. It's you trusting his greatness. It's not you trusting your holiness or perfection or goodness. It's you trusting him and abandoning yourself to him. He wants to fill you with this great power, and he wants you to be strong. All you and I must do is ask him for it. Father, fill me what I do not have right now. Give it to me. Give me love. Give me strength. Give me peace. I don't know what you need. You bring it to him and lay it at his feet and ask. And then you trust him in absolute faith to give you the power you need. Give. Receive what he has. Don't hold on to what you have. Receive what he has. You've heard me talk about that before. Say you feel like you need healing for that broken hand. You give that to the Lord, you ask him for it, but if the Lord comes back to you and says, I'm going to heal that hand, you trust that and you believe it, you take it because he's going to do it. But what if the Lord says to you, my strength is made perfect in your weakness. I'm going to see you through this. Then you accept that in faith because his power has given you that ability to endure and trust him with a broken hand that's going to heal the natural way. See, that's not a cop out. That's the truth. I've had to deal with that in my own life, things like that. Lord has done the miraculous in so many different ways because he knows what he's doing in our heart, but he wants us to have his power and strength, whether it goes this way or that way. You can know the Lord's will and you can receive it. So don't shy back from his power and don't assume you know what his power wants to do. Amen? Will you trust him this morning? Will you ask him? And will you step out in faith? That's the first thing. God wants us to be powerful and strong. Praise the Lord for that. So if you feel weak and defeated, that's not where the Lord wants you to be. You don't have to be there. Just come to him. But you got to get your eyes off yourself if you're going to do that. Here's the next part. The second element necessary to be strong in the Lord and his mighty power, set your focus, Jason kind of touched on that too, on Jesus and his greatness. Set your focus. Cite the focus of all you are and do on him. See, cite your focus. And it's like, let's see our little target up here. You got a target. How well do you think that scope is sighted in with that gun? Well, if the guy's like 300, 400, 500 yards away, he's doing pretty good, isn't he? Right? To hit the target. But those bullets, if he's close, his gun may not be sighted in. That means his scope is not sighted in, so it can't hit the center of the target. Let's see the next slide. The next slide shows a scope. If you want to sight in your scope on your rifle or your pellet gun or your BB gun that you're using, let's not say what you're using it for. Let's just say there are certain things around that like to tear up your landscape, and they like to tear up your hanging lights that are beautiful, and you're tired of that, right? And so, the simplest way to sight in your scope is that you just take a piece of paper. It can be 8.5 by 11, or it could even be a bigger piece of paper, put in the center of it a big red dot. Tape it up on your fence. Not if you're using real ammunition. Don't do that. Don't tape it up on your fence. Put it somewhere where it's a target you can hit, and when it goes through, it won't hurt anything, right? But pellet guns and BB guns are fine, right? And you put that up however distance you want to make sure you're accurate with. And then you look into your scope. You put the crosshairs on that red dot, and you shoot. Well, wherever that bullet, that pellet, that BB strikes, and usually it'll strike on that page. If you don't even see it on the page, you're in real trouble, okay? You probably need a bigger piece of paper, and you got to sight. You begin to sight in your scope. And the way you sight in your scope is, if everything went to the right and down, you know, I've got to raise up my scope a little bit. You've got a little knob on the top and a little knob on the side. I've got to raise up my scope a little bit, and I've got to turn it to the left a little bit. And you just do that little at a time. I always kind of do it naturally, because I don't know the technical way to do it, and I don't really need to have a weapon that I can shoot from 1,000 yards, right? But you keep moving it, and after you take 3 shots, you take a shot, you see where it lands, then you adjust up and down, or all around, side to side, and pretty soon, all of a sudden, you've zeroed in your scope after 3 to 5 shots, doing that process 3 to 5 times, and now you can hit the center of the target. You're there. If you follow that process, you're going to be able to zero in on that red dot so that you hit what you see, right? You're able to do that. You can hit what you're aiming at. That's what we've got to do if we're going to be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. We have to set all the actions of our lives, all of our behaviors, all of our attitudes, all of our beliefs on Him. And we've got to focus on Him. So first, don't focus on the devil's drama, or you're going to get caught up in it, and you're going to get distracted by it and led astray. You're not to first get, oh, I want to be strong in the Lord, here's my power, because I want to fight the devil's schemes and da-da-da-da-da. Well, the devil's schemes are to work within your weaknesses in your life. That's how he's scheming. He knows you better than you know yourself. And so the only way you can get right and you can be in a place where you're not vulnerable to him is to sight in everything in your life and to evaluate your life, your beliefs, your attitudes, your actions, your lifestyle, all those things. But don't get caught up and watching the devil and in his nonsense. Don't get caught up. He's not the focus. It's the greatness of the Lord. He's the focus. It's his strength and power. It's his will that's the focus. So don't get focused in his drama, or you'll be led astray and you'll be distracted. The same is true if we focus on our problems, on our shortcomings, on the foolish imperfections of others. They're not the target. Why do we do that? They're not the target. But we do that. We focus on problems so that we're like people going down the river, you know, who look, focus on all the rocks in the river. And when you do, you hit every one of them. It's the most foolish thing in the world. But it's true. And it's funny as all get out to watch people do that, by the way, because it's so foolish. You don't have to do that. So why do we do that? Why do we focus on the problems, the shortcomings, the foolish imperfections of others? But we can't focus. Our target is not your will, my will. That's not the target either. It's not it. Your desires or your wants. It's his desires and his wants. He's Lord. And he's made you. He knows what he's made you for. So you're going to be, again, short-sighted. And you're going to miss the mark. And what's the definition of sin? It's missing the mark. Right? So the Lord wants to keep us out of that. He wants to insulate us and protect us. So we keep our focus on Jesus. That's what Scripture told us in Hebrews. Set your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith. We put our eyes on him. We put our ears on his voice. And then we put our eyes on his will as we read it in his word, and we do his will. And as we listen to him and do his will, we hit the mark. We hit the mark. But we're never perfect at that, right? We have to keep moving and working on our focus, and we can be inconsistent. And the Lord loves us, and he knows that, and he can keep us. He can keep us. But I'm here to tell you this morning, and we know this, but we need to hear it again. The evil one's going to use anything he can use, both good or bad, to tempt you and me to distraction, to tempt you and me to being offended, to be discouraged, to have false hope even in things. He'll use whatever because he wants. We're too mechanistic. We're too willing to fall into routines and mechanisms instead of listening and fellowshipping with a living Lord. Right? So use anything good or bad to get our focus off God, off his voice, off his work that he's called us to. If anything in your life, if anything in your heart and in your mind is not set or focused on Jesus, his word, his will, and his calling, there's going to be a foothold for the enemy. It's an entry point for his work. Are you humble enough to admit that and see that? Are you willing to be in his word so that you can know what he's called you to? It's without condemnation. The Lord cares about you. He cares about me. He wants us to be strong in him and in his mighty power. And he knows that if we're not set or focused on him in any area, it's going to be a weak point. It's an entry point for the evil one. He can get to us. He doesn't want him to get to you. He doesn't plan for him to get to you. Do you have your life set and focused on him so you can hit the target that God has called you to? 3, I got to move on, sorry. If you're going to be strong in the Lord and his mighty power, what's the first thing it says? Put on the full armor of God. It is a choice to put on the full armor of God. We have the choice. We get to make the choice. We don't just kind of float through life, and we don't just have everything done for us. We have agency. We're in a relationship with the Lord. We're sons and daughters of God. We're in his family. That means we're a part of it all. So we're not just zombies going through life or patients on a gurney just letting everything happen to us, right? We must appropriate in faith, and this is what appropriate, I love that word. We got to appropriate in faith what has already been given us. You know what that simply means? That word appropriate, just believe and act upon it. Seize it and assume it. This is what you have. And seize and assume according to the promises of the Lord Jesus Christ and God for you. Seize and assume it. Trust it. Believe it. Be who he says you are. He said, be strong in the Lord in his mighty power and put on the full armor of God. You have access. You have the ability. Do it. Come on, do it. You know, you don't have to be afraid of it. He's told you to do it. So pick up the 10-gauge and shoot it. You know, pick up the machine gun and shoot it. You know, or pick up whatever else God has given you and use it. Use it. So here's some things. We choose to believe, trust, and say what God in his word says about us. That's what we choose to do. And you got to go back and read this, especially in Ephesians chapter 1. There's more in chapter 1 in the beginning of it than that prayer. You need to read it and know it. You need to choose to believe it and trust it and say it about yourself, because that's what God says about you and me. We got to choose to trust and act upon what God has done for us as spelled out in Acts chapter 2. You got to go read Ephesians chapter 2. You got to go read Ephesians chapter 2. And by the way, you can't read Acts 2 too. But you got to go back and read Ephesians chapter 2 and see what God has done for you and me. And we have to choose to accept, to grow in, and live according to God's plan, to pray the same prayers that Paul and Jesus prayed, and to walk the same walk and have the same relationships of love and sacrifice and holiness in the church and in the world as Paul and Jesus did, as described in the rest of the chapters of Ephesians, chapters 3, 4, 5, and the first part of chapter 6. We got to go back and read that. And we have to choose to accept and grow in those things, right? To pray those prayers, to walk that walk, because God intends for us. He knows we got to grow in it, so he'll help us grow. But we got to expect to grow, and we've got to make the choice to put it on. I hope you're making that choice. I hope you're choosing each day to grab the word of God and open it and asking the Lord, put this on me and put Jesus on me. And Father, put your power on me. In fact, when I come to your word, I always pray before I even ever read the Bible, Holy Spirit, empower me to hear and listen to your voice as I read your word. Bring it upon me. And may your word come upon me, and may it live on me, that I might do your will. See, it's a choice to put on the armor of God. It's not your armor, it's his armor, but he's telling you it's a choice. Amen? Be strong in him. Well, finally, the number four, and I'm going to make it through this, I am. Number four, the armament is not your own, did you notice? And it's mostly defensive. The armament is not your own, and it's mostly defensive. I know that most of us here have been at Sedgwick County Zoo. Yeah? Come on, raise your hands if you have. Yeah. Have you been to the lion exhibit? Yeah. Have you seen the big, thick plexiglass that's there with those lions on the other side? Yeah? Well, I was there the last time I was there. I don't know if it was the last time I was there. It might have been the second to last time I was there. But I was there one time, not too long ago. And I'm staring at the lion thinking, there's this lion, a big old massive lion laying right by the plexiglass. It's awesome because you love it when they're out, right? But it's laying there, and it's got its paws. And these young parents put their little toddler right up to it, right there. And the little toddler had its back to it, right? This lion. And this lion kind of has his mouth open and licking, and its paw in the back of would be the head on the other side of the plexiglass of the little toddler. And I'm watching that, and I'm going, this is alarming. This is alarming. Because I could just see that lion in his eyes going, and it's humming a tune, to dream the impossible dream. I thought, why do you do that? That is not right. Don't put your toddler up there. Put yourself if you want to. But this lion would crush that skull, and it would be a wicked end to that little loved one that you're called to protect. I just thought it was a little cavalier. Man, I'm willing to risk and have fun. I just thought, no, maybe I should be down there. But it was unnerving. Unnerving. Thank God for how many inches that plexiglass is, right? The armament that was there was not that child's own, but it was put in place to protect him or her from being mauled and destroyed. And it was uber effective. It was effective. Were they mindful of that? I don't know. Were they appreciative of that? I'm sure they could have been, but maybe not as much as they should have been. But it was not their own. This armament that we have in this scripture here is not our own. It's the Lord's. It's the Lord's. And it is mostly defensive. Even the sword, which was the sword that was mentioned there, was the short Roman sword. It was meant for fighting up close and personal or for deflection as much as anything else. So it could be seen even as a defensive weapon as well. And over in our passage, we are instructed to stand and take our stand, which means something, doesn't it? You never see Paul saying, grab the armor of God, grab the sword, and now go out and start wreaking havoc, man. Start swinging that sword, start running into things. You know, be a terror on 2 feet. Go for it. You don't see that.
Don't be Peter.
Huh? Amen. Amen. Don't do that. It doesn't say to do that. Over and over again, it says, stand and take your stand. We're supposed to stand and take our stand. That's what it says. Why? Because it means something. You know what it means? The battle has already been won on the cross. It was already done in Jesus. The battle is done and it's won. It was won on the cross by Jesus, and the power has been given in the coming of Jesus and his Holy Spirit. We have been given through his Holy Spirit. His love has covered us. His love has filled us. Wow. All we have to do is put on this armament and stay in it and stand in faith. That's all we have to do. That's it. And we're safe like the toddler on the other side of that impenetrable plexiglass. We are safe because we're behind it and it's on us. In fact, the one truly offensive and offensive weapon we have in our passage is prayer. Do you see that? Prayer, but it's different than how we normally pray. It's specifically prayer in the Spirit. We've been talking about knowing and realizing that God wants to speak to us. His Spirit wants to live within us. The life of Jesus wants to be in us if we're in Christ. The Spirit wants to speak his rhema, the word of God, to us. And as he does, as we pray and we listen and receive it, and that includes being in his word, by the way, because I find the best way to hear God is to be in his word, reading his word and studying it and praying at the same time and listening. And then I hear him speak. Sometimes the verses jump off the page. Sometimes the thoughts come to my mind. Sometimes I'll really get up, I start walking, and all of a sudden the Lord starts speaking. You know, he starts speaking because I'm praying in the Spirit. I'm following him. Prayer is how we humble ourselves and trust him with our needs. And we listen to him and we bring them to him. Prayer is where we hear his voice and will and we agree with him in faith and allow him to access our life and our world. See, when you pray a prayer in the Spirit or you pray a prayer in faith, you're praying it because the Lord has spoken it to you. He's giving you the open door and he just says, okay. What are you going to do? But he doesn't say that. He just opens the door. Well, of course, I'm going to walk through it because it's been given me. The door's been opened. Prayer is that intimate sharing of hearts. Oh, man, you've heard me say early on in my walk with the Lord, I used to say, God, you're so good. You keep fulfilling that promise in Philippians to give me peace when I've been anxious about things. But I want concrete words from you. And Lord say, well, you have peace and I'm working and I'm revealing to you little by little the truth. That's good enough. Trust it. It's about faith. Trust me. Wow. Prayer is where we reason with God and we team up with him to overcome our sins, to overcome our blind spots, to discern truth, receive power to grow and find freedom for ourselves and others, other people. That's what we do in prayer. And sometimes we add fasting to prayer. And sometimes we pray long periods of time because the Lord wants to be with us and we're pushing back the darkness. There is tremendous offensive power in prayer. People go, oh, prayer, well, you know, prayer, you know, nothing. It doesn't do much. It doesn't do, oh my gosh, the most powerful weapon you can wield. It can change a person's eternity. It can bring down walls around cities. It can bring people back from the dead. It can heal a person who has stage 4 cancer, right? And was destined to die. And then on Sunday and on Monday, there's no cancer in their body at all. Right? We saw that miracle happen because God said he would do that. And we trusted him. And yet, we know there are many other examples where it didn't happen, right? Well, did the Lord say anything? I only find that God only heals when he says he's going to heal. Or he does what he wants to do, and he'll reveal that that's what I'm doing. Right? So we're in a relationship with somebody, and it's for real, this relationship. It's for real. Amen. The armament is on our own, and it's mostly defensive because we're to stand. Stand our ground and stay within it. And then use our prayers to launch offensives outside of it to expand God's kingdom. Wow. We must not be outwitted or fall for the oldest trick in the book, thinking that our enemies or nemesis is our brothers, sisters, or God or people. They are not. And we can't begin to fall for the oldest trick in the book, to think, well, I've been walking with the Lord, I'm okay, I'm not susceptible to this anymore. I can deal with this temptation. I can deal with this reality. No, you can't. Don't ever believe that. That's another thing. You know, it's kind of like the lions, you know, they're, come on, come out with us, we're nice, you know. I always laugh myself silly over the guys who were bugging the tigers at the one zoo. I don't know if you heard about it. It was in some big city. And they were giving, they loved to really taunt, and they weren't supposed to, but they were taunting this tiger. And this tiger was down in a display exhibit, and it was 12 feet below them. And they thought, oh, you don't have to worry about it. That tiger can't do that. The only thing that these guys that were so smart didn't know is that tigers can jump 14 feet, and it was 12 feet. And one guy just about went to his death. But that tiger woke him up, right? So we can't be cavalier about it. We have to be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. And we've got to stay in it. Amen? We must stay in it. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers in the dark world, and against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Our Heavenly Father, he wants to come alongside you and me, and he wants us to join him in fight for souls, for the advancement of his kingdom on earth. He wants us to be a part of building up his church and moving it all forward. He wants us to be strong in him and know his mighty power. He wants that for you. He wants you to put on his full armor and completely appropriate all of his promises to you, to be fearless in proclaiming and praying his spoken and written word in an ever-expanding kingdom on earth. And in you. He wants that for you and for me. We've got to join him. Let's join him. Let's join him. Let's be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Amen. I want you to stand. Let's pray together. Amen. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we ask that you would just reignite our hope and our vision for what you've called us to, and the kind of relationship and friendship you want us to have. Thank you that you've taken every provision to watch over us and to protect us and to keep us. And we are secure in you. God, help us not to go asleep in the light, but wake us up, Lord. Wake us up that we might stay in your armament, Lord, that we might experience your true strength and power, and know that it's for us, that we might set the focus of everything in our life on you, Jesus, and your teaching. And Lord, if there's any hurtful way in us, Father, show us that we can confess it, and we can repent of it, and we can turn away from it, that we might hit the mark that you desire for us in our lives. God bless us, we pray. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. And Lord, may we just rest in you and in your mighty power and in your armament, because it's yours, and not trust in our own. Thank you, Jesus, for that. We love you, Lord, and we praise you, and we just receive your blessing this morning. It's in Jesus' name we pray, and we all said together, amen. Amen. Amen.